One of the things that Rudy said repeatedly, something that used to frustrate me enormously, was go deeper. And it was always conceptually graspable that one can go deeper. But I never knew exactly what to do. How do I go deeper? Rudy was very specific in telling me how shallow I was, how superficial. And that's always haunted me through my whole practice. That it always seems there's a deeper place to go. And one can see it in so many ways, in one's practice and one's relationship with other people, in one's creative work. When you look at, in my case, writers who are coming from a very deep and profound place, there's such a sense of awe in their presence. Clearly people like Shakespeare, Chekhov, any great writer, dramatist seems to sense the totality of the human experience. They write from a place of unbelievable knowledge. How can they know that much about the human condition, about so many different kinds of being? And whenever my own work is going well, it's going well because I'm not writing off the top of my head. I'm writing from somewhere that clearly feels more connected, that has very little to do with me. It's very separate from my bank of knowledge, my storehouse of knowledge. It's something greater. And when I tap into that, I feel as though I'm being fed from a very powerful stream. In spiritual terms, it's not dissimilar. So many people working spiritually want to have a spiritual life. And they are brought to it by a desire to experience it. And much of what that is comes from the mind. And let's describe the mind as being in the head. Not that it's located there particularly, but many of us experience the mind as brain function. And wanting something from the head tends to be a rather superficial desire. Wanting something from the mind represents curiosity, interest, intellect, something that intelligence wants to know. And it wants to know it because when it is known, it's owned, it's yours. Somehow you possess it. The mind has grasped it. And so many of us want to grasp spiritual life, grasp the experience of being a spiritually awakened person. And we want to do it from the place of relative safety, which is mind intelligence, which can know something from the top of the head, perhaps down to your chin. Knowing something at that level is, again, superficial awareness. It doesn't go deep. Going deep is a journey. Going deep, in some ways, at least in this practice, can be described as the trip through the chakra system down to the very base of your spine. The desire to understand is a desire for you to own information. in a sense, to be bigger than that information, to somehow encompass an awareness. But the awareness that we are reaching for in our depth cannot be encompassed. It cannot be owned. It cannot even be understood. So the journey into depth has to begin with a willingness to let go of understanding, to let go of your mind, to let go of your need to get it. So as you begin the journey downward from understanding in the mind into the next chakra, which is in your throat, which is the space of communication and sharing of knowledge. So if you have knowledge to share, and you're really good at sharing, and you become a journalist, you become a novelist, you become somebody who projects their knowledge into the world, it comes from your throat chakra, your ability to give this information. Dr. Phil, conceptualizing stuff that you know and delivering it clearly to people. It's a wonderful gift if it has depth, but a lot of people share what they know and don't have anything that they feel or experience beyond knowledge. And so the sharing is a superficial exchange of information, which unfortunately dominates much of our social life. A lot of things being shared that is not deep. And so the sharing of this information comes from the throat chakra, and because it is going outward so easily, it tends not to be informed by depth. To go deeper into the throat chakra is to go to what I call the place of prayer. To speak to one's deepest self through the root system of your throat chakra brings you to a place also of asking for clarity, asking for wisdom. It all comes from this throat neck chakra. And it is a place that you can go to and really dig deep to a surrendered space that begins to speak with a kind of informed awareness. It too can draw from the brain and from the mind and from the intellect and speak, but it tends to have a greater presentation of conscious clarity. And when we hear somebody speaking from that place, we tend to get it more readily than somebody who just blathers, throws information at us. A deeper way of approaching knowledge is to feel it. And that brings us down to the heart chakra. And the heart chakra is a place of empathetic, sympathetic awareness. And as we move into the heart chakra, much of what we understand, we begin to feel. And our understanding is informed by a sensation of knowing. Because it isn't just conceptualized, it really is grounded in this extraordinary experience of feeling what we're talking about. And when somebody feels what they're talking about and expresses it through the throat chakra, it carries a whole other level of information. When we go to the theater, we watch a movie, when we hear music, we are experiencing knowledge expressed through feeling. And it is a deeper expression, and it has much more compelling aspect. It speaks to us in a deeper way. So when you go to, for example, a great opera, and they are presenting something that is flooding the senses, but has a kind of deeply created and deeply felt message, if you will, or awareness to communicate, you sit there flooded by a kind of aesthetic consciousness that touches you in a profound way. And for many people, this is as good as it gets in our culture. This is as beautiful as it gets. But there is deeper yet to go. The next layer of depth, if you will, is your gut. Gut feeling, gut awareness. A space that has to do with intention, with willpower. As you move into this space, everything above it is informed by a kind of new intensity, a new awareness, and that awareness is that it has importance, it has weight, it has substance. It's not simply coming from the mind, it's not just coming from the heart, it's coming from a place of deep, deep connectivity. And when somebody expresses themselves from that place, from this belly-like awareness, you feel in them and you feel in yourself at the same time a kind of agreement, a deep agreement that this is true, that this feels true. So that the great teachers, the great rabbis, the great priests of our life, who have that deep belly-like presentation of truth, it resonates in us in a way that is so overwhelmingly powerful that it stirs us into a kind of awakening mode. Something in us wants more of that. It talks to us in a way that says, everything that you hear from your mind and you feel in your heart, as important as all that is, there is more. And when you touch that space in your belly and that energy of will and intent and need start to truly express themselves, it is more compelling than anything that happens in your mind and in your heart. And yet it goes deeper than that. You enter into the space of your sexuality. Sexuality is a fascinating energy. As most people know, it overrides everything. Once it kicks in, it overrides. It overrides your mind, it overrides your heart, it overrides intention. It just takes over. And most of us have a desire to give into it entirely. We have a lot of mind things telling us don't do that. We have a lot of heart things saying not with this one, maybe that one. A lot of judgment going into this unbelievable, powerful energy. It wants to totally take over. And some of us give ourselves over to it in the moment. Some people really grasp that that energy is something more than procreative energy, that it really has some larger value and purpose, that it is bigger than anything we experience in our normal daily life. And we just taste it in our daily life. We taste it when it rises up and we go, oh my God, this is so powerful and it's so beautiful, and I think for people sometimes scary, because it obliterates us in some way. It has in its momentary expression of orgasm a moment of telling us that there is something absolutely beautiful and we do not exist in it. We are lost and consumed by it. And every one of us in some ways desires it, and in some ways there is a fear of it. But it is a hint of what it means to truly let go of yourself, to let go of everything else and let it take over. It has its dangers and it has its allures and it has its absolute powerful and essential aspect. But it is one of the deepest feelings one can come to in spiritual and material life. And yet, even beyond that, there is the depth of depths, which is what we call in chakra terms and in spiritual terms, kundalini, or the uprising energy, or the unifying energy. It's almost as if we're going from the top of the ocean to the core of the ocean. Kundalini is the very center of our being. If we all look down into ourselves through our chakras and we go deeper, 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 the extraordinary thing is we all come to exactly the same space, the exact same point, which is the depth of our ocean of being. We all arrive there. We are in that place, totally unified. There is no separation between any of us. It is the smallest and the most vast of all possible spaces. It makes no sense. It is incomprehensible. It is not understandable. It is not graspable. And in it, just as in our sexual energy, we are completely consumed. And there is no separateness. There is no two. There is one. That is as deep as it gets. And that depth can rise up and inform every one of your chakras. It can inform your sexuality. It can inform this gut level sense of how to be and exist in the universe. It can inform your heart. It can inform the part of you, the ego expression that talks to the world, and it can inform your intelligence. And so when this energy rises up and brings all of these centers together, all of your centers participate in depth. They are no longer superficial spaces that you touch on occasion in your life. They become a continuum of awakened, anointed, deep, profound, simple truth. And it all comes from the base of your spine and rises up through you and becomes an expression of your whole life. This is the depth that Rudy was talking about. This is the depth that we all have within us. And each of us can dive into that depth and know ourselves in that profound space in which there is no sense of yes, no, right, wrong. It just is a sense of absolute knowing and clarity. And everyone has the opportunity, and if they get their navel chakra really working and they get their desire or need to go there really functioning, it is absolutely available to all of us. This ultimate depth of being that is one with all being, one with the universe. It is the journey that we are each of us on at this moment. Everyone who is in this room has come here because something in them has responded to the call of this depth. Something in you is saying, I want this. Otherwise, you would not get in your car and drive here. Trust me. Most people do not get in their car and drive 2-3 hours to get something unless they want it. The human experience tends to be a very superficial experience. Most of us are very happy to watch TV, go to our job, have a cup of coffee, have a day, go to sleep, get up and do it again. Many of us do that without ever understanding why we do it, why it exists to be done, why we're here in the first place. For many people, it's not even a question. It's just, this is what I do. And there is a life to be led like that. But at some point, what starts to happen for people is called old age. And old age is a really interesting experience because, among other things, you don't feel as good as you felt when you were in your 20s and your 30s. Things are starting to decay. Things aren't quite what they were supposed to be. Things didn't add up the way you imagined that they would have added up. Life is no longer future. It's not about what you're going to get, because you already gotten or you didn't get what you're going to have. It's not there anymore. And as all that starts to happen, the question arises, well, what was this all about? Why am I here? What am I doing? What is this for? As you really start to approach this late in the game, it's not that you can't really come up with real answers. It's not that there aren't answers waiting for everyone, but the pattern of superficiality becomes so powerful and entrenched that you can't go to depth, that you've lived a life of such non-exploration that starting to explore when you're in your 60s is very hard. Try to get somebody to go hitchhiking to China when they're in their 60s. You can do it when you're in your 20s. And if you establish a pattern of exploration, of looking, of reaching, of wondering when you're young, you have a muscle in you that really gets very strong. So that when everything else is falling by the wayside, as it will, there you are with this muscle still reaching, still wanting, still exploring, and if anything, becoming more established because it knows now the value of this depth, of this inner search. It knows it because the truth of your journey is being revealed to you as everything falls away. The incredible thing about letting it go is that what is real remains. And as it remains, there you are in some way. I mean, you being not necessarily you as personality, not necessarily you as a individualized self, but you. This essential you remains aware of what is, because everything else is gone. What isn't falls away. What was falls away. What will be falls away. It's really interesting. Future goes, past goes, unless you're totally addicted to memory. All of this stuff falls away, and what remains is this core being that, if you are lucky in your life to have developed, becomes this extraordinary space of wisdom. The wisdom of old age, really. It doesn't happen very often. I thought old age came as a natural thing to every human being who got old. And of course, we all know now grandparents and great-grandparents who you would not go to for wisdom, who have not found that. It's not a given. The only given is if you make the effort and if you work to arrive at this present moment now, if you get the sense early on, as some lucky people do, that the future is going to fall away, that the past is going to fall away, that your body is going to disintegrate, that everything you held as beautiful and meaningful is very likely going to be taken away. If you get that early on in your life, then you have the basis of wisdom already in place, and you have begun a practice, a spiritual practice. And that spiritual practice is in play inside you as we speak. Everyone in this room, that's working. It's there. The only thing is, can you go deeper? And again, as Rudy said to me over and over and over, you can go deeper. Go deeper. And I would always go, what does that mean, Rudy? What does that mean? Well, I think what I'm telling you today is a bit of an answer to that question. What it means to go deeper. So now the question is, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to go deeper? Or do you want to stay in that place, even those of us who are on spiritual path? Do you want to stay in that place of comfort where you know something? I mean, a lot of people arrive at a place where they have a lot of knowledge, even some wisdom, even some invested feelings of what it means to be alive. They have all of that, and yet that's as far as they want to go. And so the spiritual unfolding becomes a way to get to a comfortable place, a place where you can perhaps write a book and have classes and teach people. But what does that mean? What does it mean, really, to get to that place and stay there? It basically means that you are offering up to people what was rather than what is. What you knew or what you know that comes from some place that you have arrived at. But truly, what happens in my own experience is that when I sit down to teach, when I walk through my day, no moment is like the moment before. Every time I think I know something, I'm shown instantly that I don't know anything. Every time I think I've got it, they take it away. It is a fascinating thing. I sit down to teach, and moment to moment to moment, I'm experiencing a place or an energy or a chemistry I have never seen before. And I go, what's this? Now what? I don't find that I am allowed to stay in any comfort zone for very long. Trust me, I'm like everybody else. If they would let me stay there, I would do it. But they keep taking it away. They keep, whoever they are, let's just call it my body. It just keeps offering me a different reality. And so I'm sitting here, even teaching you, and I'm sitting in the space I've sat in many times, and nothing in me is familiar. I go, now what? How do I teach? What do I do now? And I honestly don't have the answer. I really don't have the answer. All I can do is sit there and accept that I have no clue. I am here in this moment. The universe has brought me to this moment, and all I can do is go deep into it. I sit as deeply as I can in this unknown space, and believe me, everything in me is trying to make it known. Everything in me is trying to get comfortable, but it's not happening. So I just sit there. And then this remarkable thing happens. It's okay that I don't know. It's okay that I'm not comfortable. It's okay that I don't have a clue, because what's happening is completely real, and it has nothing to do with me or my mind. It just is. And my job is to be present in that space and be one with each of you in that space, even though I don't have a clue or understand it. That appears to be my practice. And the deeper I can go into that practice, as much as it is often uncomfortable and unexplained, it seems to be true. And its truth broadcasts. It is effective. It has life. It connects. Or I think it connects. It appears to connect. And all I can do is honor it and say yes to what is. And it keeps coming down to that. It comes down to that day by day, moment to moment, literally second by second. And I just keep going, yes, 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 yes. And that's my practice. And it leads me to a place that will not let me stay in shallow waters. It just won't let me stay there. It is too uncomfortable, in a sense. It doesn't let me lie in my warm blanket. It just pulls me into depth. And each of us can go there if we're willing to be true to and willing to be open to what we're feeling at any given moment. Because it is a great teaching machine, this life of ours. It's a great teaching machine, and it knows what it's doing every second. And what it's doing is leading you, directing you, and taking everything away. And it knows how to do it. It's smarter than anything you can possibly imagine. And ultimately, it will free you. It will free you from your own drama, from your own sense of self. But here's the kicker. You have to be a participant. You have to be willing to engage this process. Because if you don't, it doesn't stop the process. It just makes it take a lot longer. Like maybe a million lifetimes longer. Which may be okay. It doesn't seem to care about that. But if you really want this thing called liberation, which is really wanting truth, if you really want the truth of your being, of your own true being, go for the ride, engage the ride, take it on, be serious about it, want it deeply, because in the end, you're the one who makes it happen. You're the one that gets there. You get there because you sat outside the temple door for 40 years. You get there because you've been asking for your whole life. You get there because there hasn't been a moment where you haven't wanted this. And if you're late in the game, it doesn't matter. You can catch up in a second. It's all about depth of want, depth of wish, and willingness to make this journey. Is it worth it? You know, I can only tell you it seems to be. It really seems to be worth it. So go deep. Take responsibility. Do the work. Whatever it takes. And wait, really, mostly what it takes is be present. To be truly present is to be always in depth. To be truly present is to be always here. Because to be truly present doesn't give you what you want, it gives you what is. And if you are really present with what is, you're doing it. Because that's the work. Any questions? Buddha used to explode when people had no questions. Yes?
I remember you saying, you go deep, you're developing your psychic muscle system. You don't do that, you have to sit. So that's my understanding. That you also have to go.
Yes, no, of course. The sitting longer and harder, let's say practicing daily, is a part of this. But what happens, which is really interesting, is that the sitting transforms into, from a 20-minute or 30-minute process, into an all-day affair. It just, there, you don't sit and then leave it. It just begins to happen all the time. It's your, because life happens all the time. What you start to feel, at least my experience, is sitting is no different than drinking a cup of coffee, driving the car, working on a script, talking to my wife. It's no different. It's just another 20 minutes of not doing anything. It has its own particular character. I love doing that because there's something so simple and immediate and connected. But the next minute is not disconnected from that. And the whole day, and even your deepest sleep, is part of that same thing. And after a while, that's your life. You are living this awakened, conscious state. And what that state reveals to you after a period of time is that it's all about being in the moment. Period. It's just being awake. Sitting teaches you how to be awake, how to watch your own sort of tendency to go to sleep, how to watch your unconsciousness, how to watch your mind rambling all over the place and not be caught by it. That's the great advantage of sitting still. If you take 20 or 30 minutes a day and just watch your mind go on its own insane journey, and you just watch it go without going with it, that's the key that you then need to bring to your own life, because life is just as distracting as your mind, and they're kind of the same thing. But if you watch your mind distracted and don't get caught, you can start watching your life be distracted and not get caught. And you become this very centered person who's very alive in the moment. And then you start to find, if you do get caught, which most of us do, it's okay. Because part of you is aware of you being caught. And you go, oh. Or you just forgive yourself for getting caught, which is another mechanism of surrender. You just let go of that and say, it's okay, I was caught. Now I'm not caught. But being caught and being not caught are in the end no different, really, except for clarity of awakening. And that's the thing that becomes more and more and more present. It's just like, ah. I don't think Nityananda got caught, for example. I think there came a point where nothing got him. But I think if something did catch him, he would go, ah. Okay, and let it go.
I just keep thinking, getting deeper and deeper. Yeah, I'm getting my thumb caught in the car door.
Yeah, yeah.
Consciousness then.
Yeah, no, of course, of course. That's what happens. But how quickly you get out of that is a signal to you of your own development. How fast can you move beyond your own craziness or your own mind caught experience, and the act of forgiveness, the act of surrender, the act of acceptance and allowing, all of that is part of this process of depth. It's all how we get there. The only thing is, and this is the tricky part, for a period of time, we are doing that. We're the one in charge of making that happen. There comes a moment in the awakening of great souls where they're no longer doing it. It's done for them. It's being done. In other words, you've run the race as far as you can. Now this takes over. And when that happens, it happens. It may happen on your deathbed. It may happen years earlier. Who knows when that takes place? But it's sort of, I believe, a response to your depth of effort. If you've worked really hard and made the effort, at some point it steps in and it goes, okay. So that you don't surrender anymore, it surrenders you. That's where this finally leads. But you can't make that happen at all, no matter what you do. All you can do is be endlessly available. That's right. Yeah. So if you keep at it, at some point, especially if you want it, and that's really the navel chakra thing, if you really, really make the universe aware of your wanting this, needing this thing, when they want to do it, they'll hand it over. So knock on that door as loud as you can and keep knocking and do the work and do it deeply. And when you do that, the universe will not respond. One of the great things for me, because you know, I've had moments of an awakening, but I've never had the full awakening, you know, which I know people who have. But I kind of arrived at a place, especially a few weeks ago, where it no longer mattered. It just didn't matter. I wasn't waiting for it to happen. If it didn't happen, it didn't matter. Because I'm here. I'm here. When it wants to do it, it will do it. Being here seems to me to be everything one can do until whatever that thing happens. And if it doesn't happen, to live a great life in spite of it. And I don't know if that's any place to teach from. I think people who've arrived at that, I mean, the people I know who've arrived at that, they don't know how they got there. They don't know what to tell you. They didn't do it. So they can't teach you anything that's going to do it. And that's the horrible lesson for most people, that you can't make it happen. You don't get to a place where you graduate because you took all the classes. All you can do is take all the classes. Done. And that's all I can say. That may be very frustrating for a lot of people.
Creating that out of fish.
Yeah, and so here we are. And I think we're all doing it in our own terms, and I think it's a beautiful thing to sit together with people who are all participating in this and share a kind of journey that is, I think, the great journey of human existence. It's why I think we're here. I don't know why else we would be here. And I know that having met Rudy, having come into the presence of great souls, I feel blessed and I feel I've led a life that is worthy. Any other questions?
What you're saying really resonates with me. In the aging process, this is what I'm finding, is that there used to be things that I strived for, and they're falling away because there's opportunities that you have when you were young that you sort of don't have anymore. And what I'm doing is like searching for a reason to get up in the morning, to put it, like,
it comes down to that. It's existential.
Yeah, it's sort of tough. And it's like, even if your work is really valuable to you, you know that maybe, you'll never get a gallery because 20-year-olds, they want 20-year-olds, and you're not 20 anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's, I'm really searching for a way to be now where it is...
I think, Marty, that this is the beginning of the best part of your life. Truly. I know the desires really have to fall away and nothing in us finds that pleasurable. But it really does happen. And after a while, what starts to take place is something so simple that getting up in the morning is like what happened when you were 2 years old. You would lie in bed and you would hear the birds chirping outside. You would see the wind blowing through the trees and you would go, oh, a day. I have a whole day. And you get up to fill that day with whatever. And it may just be, you know, reading the paper, having a cup of coffee, going into your studio and standing there and going, why am I doing this? Ooh, I have this tool, I have this material, let me just do this. And just finding something that wants to happen. And just suddenly 5 o'clock rolls by and there you are, you spent the whole day just being with these tools. Not because a gallery would look like them or not like them, but because you got to be with them. And you'll feel like a little kid in the sandbox, really, who's feeling totally productive. Building a castle, tearing it down, creating a moat, filling it with water, destroying it, you know. It's a day. It's a day, and it's a great day. And we find that again. It's like second childhood on some level. Because it's not about recognition and acknowledgement. And you know, it's so interesting, because I've had recognition and acknowledgement, and now they're not giving it to me like they used to. I don't care. That has nothing to do with it. That stuff is the least of it. I know it doesn't look like that from certain angles, but it's the least of it. What matters is the doing. And there will come a moment for you where getting up in the day will be the greatest thing in the world, because you have another day. Another day. And being alive, is an unbearable gift. It's so amazing. It's so purely amazing. And when we feel that, and when we begin to really get that, it's because all of our bullshit desires and needs and hungers and all that have fallen away, and we become like a child again. And that's really what this process is about. You know, I mean, Rudy, in his last year or so, if you look at pictures of him, he was like a kid. He was like a little kid. He was so happy all the time. And it wasn't about anything. He just was happy. That's what's possible for us. Can you say something? It's identity. Identity with the body, identity with the mind, identity with form. And it's there, but it's not who you are. It's a manifestation of the moment. Be in that manifestation, but you don't have to identify with it. Just feel what it wants to teach you. And believe me, it wants to teach you a lot of stuff. If you sit in your own pain and you sit in your own difficulty or your own joy, whatever it is, it just erupts with knowledge and awareness. It's like you get it. You get humanity. You get what it means to be a human being on every level. And it's not always pretty or easy. You know, I was saying in class a few weeks ago after this operation I had, you know, on the way to go get to the hospital, you know, and I didn't think I was going to survive this operation for whatever reason. Everything in life, every moment in life became so profoundly itself. And I kept thinking, well, this may be my last moment, so it's going to be unbelievably beautiful. But it wasn't unbelievably beautiful. As I said in a talk I gave, our cab got lost on the way to the hospital. I mean, everything was off, you know, and nothing was right. And I thought, of course, this is what it is. This is what it is, period. And not to judge it. Why should it be anything other? Why should a boring moment not occur? Why should weird feelings and chemistries not... Exactly. And it comes down to the most absurd cliches and things we've known our whole life. But boy, when you really know it, it's like, oh. And it's worth living a long and messy life to figure it out. So, okay, guys. Thank you so much for coming. Blanche and I have a thing to go to. We have to leave here at 2, so it's only an hour, unfortunately. So we have to...
Shovel it.
Have a good brunch, and we'll talk while we're eating. Love you all. Thank you for coming.